Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this fourth Sunday in Advent, our gospel text is the narrative of the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel bringing to Mary the news that would change her life forever. News which would, in fact, change the whole course of human history. Mary has been called the quintessential Christian, a woman who embodied what it was to live a godly life. Not that I believe she was perfect, but when God asked, she said a courageous yes. And it is that yes which makes her the model for every Christian. Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, and like every Jewish young woman, was probably eagerly anticipating taking up her role as a wife and mother, but not quite yet. In that culture, girls married young, so Mary was probably not more than 14 or 15 years old, and she was in the midst of an engagement period that was typically a year long. And in the middle of that year of anticipation and preparation, planning, getting ready for the big event, she gets an unexpected visitor, the angel Gabriel. Now, I've always wondered how exactly it was that Mary knew that Gabriel was an angel. The text doesn't make that clear, but Mary was absolutely convinced that she was being visited by a heavenly messenger with a divine word. "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And I can well imagine Mary looking up in surprise and maybe total shock. "Who? Me? Why me?" Mary did fit the Old Testament criteria. She was from Nazareth. She was from the house and lineage of David. She was a virgin. Those were the requirements, the prerequisites, if you will. Now, most theologians postulate that she must have been a woman of extraordinary character and piety. But for all we know, Mary was simply an ordinary young woman who happened to have been chosen by God for an extraordinary role. She was favored, not because she was more worthy than someone else, but because God chose to favor her. "Here I am," she says, "the servant of the Lord." You know, it's something worth remembering, this idea that the favor of God comes not because we deserve it, not because we are somehow better than someone else. The favor of God comes because God is gracious. Now, we could hardly have blamed Mary if, in fact, she had felt not quite so favored. She was going to end up pregnant out of wedlock in a culture where that was a stoning offense. Who would have blamed Mary if she had simply said, thanks, but no thanks? Was her heart full of anxiety about what will people think? Or most especially, what will Joseph think if I show up pregnant? Gabriel tells her, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." And to make sure that Mary understands from the get-go who this special child will be, Gabriel goes on to say, "He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David." The final piece of the messianic puzzle, the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, which declared that a descendant of David would reign on his throne forever. By this time, we can imagine that Mary might have been totally blown away. But she seems to be a poised and grounded individual. Her one question is the obvious one. How can this be, since I am a virgin? Was she expecting that she and Joseph should anticipate the marriage bed, or what? And Gabriel makes clear that this is not going to be an ordinary human conception or birth, that her pregnancy will be of the Holy Spirit. From the beginning, this is going to be a miraculous event, and Mary will be the mother of God. In Eastern Orthodox theology, Mary is revered as Theotokos, or God-bearer, the one who carried God in her womb for 9 months and delivered God to the world. And again, Mary doesn't seem to fret over how to explain this to Joseph or the neighbors. She simply accepts what seems to be impossible and opens herself to the fullness of God's purpose. And this is what makes her the quintessential Christian, this openness to God's purpose. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord," she says. "Let it be with me according to your word." She says, yes. Perhaps the most important yes that anyone has ever said to God. Mary teaches us who we are, servants of God. And from her, we can learn a fearless openness to whatever it is that God is calling us to. We learn that the spiritual life is a constant, never-ending journey of saying yes to God. We learn that sometimes God challenges us with things that take us out of our comfort zones, that sometimes what God asks of us may cause some consternation in our social circles or family. But we also learn that when we say yes to God, that perhaps God is just waiting to do miraculous, extraordinary events in our lives as well. And we see in Mary another pattern for the Christian life. Mary heard the word of God, received the indwelling Holy Spirit, and gave her life over to the task of bearing Christ into the world. Does that not sound like the Christian journey? We hear the word of God, which names us children of God. We receive the Holy Spirit first in baptism and then daily as we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." And by the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are also privileged to bring Christ to the world. Mary's response to this extraordinary call was one of praise and gratitude. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." All generations have, in fact, called Mary blessed. But we also find our lives overflowing with blessing as we live out our yes to God. "Let it be to us according to God's word." Amen.